Is writing really more than just a scribble?
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Is scribbling all there is to writing? We'll ask teacher Margot Stites if there isn't a whole lot more to it. Then we'll ask Garrison Keillor for the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. Welcome, Margot.
Hi, nice to be here today.
Well, it's nice to have you, I must say. We've recently talked about teaching reading, and now we're going to talk about teaching writing. My first question is, are we talking cursive or what?
Most of the students today can't read cursive, let alone write it.
What's going to happen when they sign checks?
What happened to cursive?
Yeah.
I know, they turn to their iPhone. And
I've seen checks signed by something that looks like an elaborated X. You know, I don't know how anybody figures that for a signature, but...
Yeah, maybe they can write their names in cursive, and a few of them still know how, but most of them... No, and if you write something on the board in cursive, they have a tough time.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So,
Do you want my nasty question now or later?
Oh, whenever.
Here it comes. Don't you people teach grammar anymore?
Yes, we do.
What's happening?
I don't know.
You listen to any newscast.
Oh, it's horrible.
And nobody uses I and me correctly.
You're a crotchety.
There is no lie and lay anymore.
I know.
Crotchety old guy.
I know.
I
jettisoned shall and will in my lifetime.
I thought I was the hard case on this, and you were the rebel.
I'm the same way. I am horrified. And I think, I have a few theories about what has happened, at least with my students. I know they learned this. I'm a high school teacher, so they learned this. And I think when they were in fifth and sixth grade, they had this down. And then all of a sudden, their world expanded, and now all they do is tweet with their friends who also use poor grammar. They're listening, like you said, to what they're hearing in the media and out there, and what they hear is poor grammar, and so they... just disregard it, too, until they get a crotchety old English teacher like me.
Well, let's take lie and lay. Almost everybody has dismissed it. I mean, you look at the national programs and at the national politicians.
Yeah.
And it's true. Language changes. So is that on the way out? And should we just say, well, that was fun while it lasted? Or
No.
So you're a grammar policeman rather than a grower.
Yeah, I'm a grammar Nazi.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad to know there are a few left.
There still are a few of us out there. And like I always tell my students that that someday you will be communicating with people who actually care as opposed to just your friends on Instagram.
True.
So.
But you know that it's not just in writing, but it's in speech too. As I listen to, of course, I used to teach speech, so I'm rather sensitive to that. But you listen to kids speaking in a fast mumble, and they understand one another. But I think when you go for a job or make a public presentation, you are going to fall flat. I had a friend who's raised two boys. And they developed their own language. Among themselves, the boys were perfectly comprehensible, and their parents could understand them. But it took a crowbar to get them from that into English.
Yeah, that's...
That can happen.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It apparently happens frequently with twins.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they develop a language not even the parents quite understand. So how much writing is required these days in high school, Margot?
Quite a bit. Just in English classes alone. In fact, I think we do more and more and more.
Is there a writing course every year?
Let me see. Freshman year, yes, it's just basically freshman English, but writing is incorporated into that. As is sophomore year, we have various units. Like, they do research papers. They write about the literature that they read. They do informative essays. They do argumentative essays. And then junior year, they do take just a regular writing course, and then there's advanced composition, and then, of course, we have creative writing and
AP. Why do you call it writing if you don't learn to write? I'm just idle curiosity. You know, I look at the language. I mean, I'm teaching writing, but nobody can write.
Well, I didn't say nobody can.
Okay.
I didn't say nobody can, but I think it's more of a challenge now. I think they've picked up more bad habits. There's more ways to pick up bad habits now than there used to be in the past.
Well, you know, myself, I became so frustrated as the quality of my handwriting deteriorated, I just started printing. And now I print, and now I can't read my printing. So, time wears away at precision. But I remember when my mother wrote letters, beautiful cursive, her letters kind of slanted the wrong way, but it was beautiful writing, and you could read everything very clearly. But you seldom run into that kind of writing these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it takes time.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's what's happened with teaching it anymore. It does take a lot of time, and I think that's been replaced with other things in the curriculum.
Well, you know, look how easy it is to grade a 10-point chemistry quiz versus an essay where you have to read the thing and then make comments.
Yeah. Like a high school teacher who has 150, 160. I've had some years where I've had 180 students at a time.
How can you do that?
It takes about an average of 20 minutes to read. That's a short essay. We're not even talking research papers. So, yeah, when you do the math.
Yeah, my mother was an English teacher, and what I remember every evening is sitting in the chair, grading papers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she loved it, but man, that was time-consuming.
Yeah, I remember. I've often talked about a class I took in cosmology where the prof said, there are five questions I will ask you in the final. What is time? What is space? What is place? What is being? So on. And got down to the final, and we were asked those five questions. And we wrote and wrote and wrote. And I asked him in years after, how do you handle that? He says, well, I read them very carefully, and then I lay them aside. And then I wait a day, and then I go back and read them again. And then I began to make a judgment as to the quality of the writing, the clarity of the thought, and so on. And I thought, man, if it takes that long to really understand an essay answer, it's no wonder everyone's going for multiple choice. But you lose something in the process.
You do. You do. Even having people just write short answer, I make my students, the first rule of my class is you must write in complete sentences. I don't want the short answer because a complete sentence is a complete thought. Mm-hmm. And I want students to to get that into their heads that writing is communicating, and you're not communicating unless you're putting down complete thoughts. And the second rule is forget that you are writing for a teacher who has also read this or knows what you're talking about. You're writing this for somebody who doesn't know what you're talking about, and you have to explain it fully.
Boy, and you're tough.
I am tough. I'm the mean teacher. But the students, once they get used to this, they do see the difference. They see the difference. And I always say, too, that I should be able to know what the question is that you are answering just from your answer. I should not have to look back at the question. Oh, what is he talking about here? It should be that fully explained in your answer.
Boy, that's good. That's really good. And I applaud you for that. Because writing is probably the most time-consuming thing you can do. And to teach it to the point where, willingly or not, the students do it, you're giving them a great gift, a really great gift.
It seems to me that is very hard to do, and not everybody. I think that's why a lot of people who go into English teaching don't like teaching writing. Here's the problem. You know, a student gets a chemistry quiz back and he got two wrong, so he gets a B. And it's okay. I mean, I didn't know the stuff. But a student gets a theme back and he gets a C+ on it. In some ways, that's telling him he's a C person, isn't it?
Well, you could look at it that way.
The student is going to look at it that way. I spilled my guts out for Mrs. Stites, and she thinks of me as a C. How do you keep a student writing honestly and openly, and at the same time criticize that student?
Well, for one thing, I don't just take a theme. The student doesn't just write, hand me a theme, and then I grade it. It's a process. And usually by the time I get that final paper, I've seen it maybe 3 times already. And we've had discussions, the student and myself, during that whole process that, have you thought about this? Did you look at this? This seems to be out of place here, or you need to expand upon this. So he's already had my input a few times. So if he ends up with a C, this should not be a total shock to this person.
Well, that,
and you have to separate, too, that there's one thing about content. It could be he has fabulous ideas. Maybe his ideas were A.
Right.
But the mechanics, the way he got them down on the paper, maybe that was a D, and that's how he ended up with the C+.
It's a dilemma I don't think that's ever completely solved, but it seems to me you just put your finger on it, revision, right?
Revision.
When we wrote themes, we wrote a theme a week, got a grade on it, went on to the next theme, and we never did any revising at all.
Yeah.
Except as we revised as we were writing it, which I never did. But I can see that it would really help to get the theme back. Which is what they're going to face if they go out to work for an ad agency or for a newspaper.
Yeah.
They're
going to
get it back with some red pencils on it and saying, change this,
this is too long. And learn to develop, too, that the idea that, yes, this is a process. I should expect that the first thing I write is not going to be that great and it's going to need more work. That's a hard thing to get through their heads.
So do you share your own writing with them?
Yes, I do.
How your first drafts were not
very
good.
And I will show them, because they'll start with me and apologize to me for a rough draft being, or a revision draft being messy. Oh, I crossed some things out. It's messy. And I said, messy? I said, if it's not messy, I'd be upset with you. And I've brought in and shown them some of my work, and revisions with the arrows and the cross out and the things written in the margins. That's what it's supposed to look like. That means you've been working on it.
But how are they writing this? I mean, are they writing it? Are they printing it?
Well,
are they using a computer or typewriter?
Okay, that's the other thing I have them do. We have found, and studies that the latest studies coming out have shown, that there is a connection between your brain and your hand, and you actually write better pen on paper or pencil on paper. So I make them do the first couple of drafts pencil on paper, and then they can start typing it into a computer. That's the other thing, too. When they type into a computer, it looks pretty, and they think, well, see, it looks pretty. Well, that doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
And
That hand-brain thing is really true, that when you write something, you know it. I mean, it's in your head. And I know when we took biology in the advanced courses in college, the instructor put notes on the board and made us write them down. And writing them down fixed them in your mind.
Yeah.
It's odd.
That's the other thing. I make them take lots of notes.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
I am truly the mean teacher.
So it seems to me that in order to be a good writing teacher, you've got to develop a kind of relationship with your students that isn't necessary to that extent in a lot of other disciplines.
Because writing is such a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. I found that I have developed relationships with my students, and they'll even come in writing something for another class. They'll come in and show it to me.
You encourage them to do that? I think that would be a good idea. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, everybody needs a mentor. When I write something, I'll show it to somebody else. Say, would you read through this and have any comments, or what do you think? In fact, I just got an email from my son who teaches English in Korea. And he had written a little script for a thing, and he said, I'm emailing this to you, would you take a look at it and put some comments on it, what do you think? And I did send it back to him. I mean, it is a process, and it's good to have other eyes looking at it.
And my grandson wrote a novel when he was fairly young, and he gave it to me, and I said, do you really want me to blue pencil this? He says, oh yeah. Boy, it got marked up pretty good.
Yeah.
And I went only so far, and I said, I'm going to stop here and have you look at that and see if you really want to go through this process anymore. But take a look at what I said and see if you think what I said is valid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a touchy thing. It really is.
But that's how you learn. That's how you get better. If you think that everything you put down on paper the first time is fabulous, you're probably not going to improve much as a writer, because part of the writing process is being critical of your own work and being able to look at it.
You can get away with it in a diary, but nowhere else.
Yeah.
Do you write yourself, Margo?
I do. I do. Plays. Plays are for the public. I write poetry mostly for myself.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of how I work things out in my mind, or things I work them out through poetry.
Margo, you have suddenly risen and rolled the steam several feet. He pushes poetry like nobody I've ever seen. And I don't want to be pushing you out the door, but we're just about done for time. Thank you so much. Not only thank you for being with us, but for teaching writing. That is a demanding thing, and it is so, so necessary.
It is. I agree.
And I don't know how necessary this is, but we're going to go to the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor.